Hello, everybody out there in the Regal Star System. This is Supersonic 019 or 019, and I'm with...
This is Tails 3.
Tails 3, as always. You know us, you love us. Sorry about last week. I know that I said this was going to be a weekly thing, and we did record our show. But because of my technical failures, I just lost the entire episode, so you guys unfortunately missed out on that. It was probably the best episode that we'll ever do, too, so sorry about that.
He's just covering up because they were late.
Yes, he did. I'm sorry. He actually injected it, and then it was transformed into an A-beast, and then we killed it with fire.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So this is a really exciting episode of the podcast because, as you all know, the Phantasy Star Universe beta has come out on Xbox Live for all the Gold members. And for those of you who are looking for it now, you're not going to have any luck because the download has been taken off. But it's been really, really exciting. I've logged my hours into it. I think I have about 30 hours on it. And I mean, that's just with the beta too, so who knows what the hell I'm going to do with the full game. So anyway, let's just talk about my experience with the beta, and Tails and I will answer more questions you guys have. We'll just get a little more in-depth now that we have even more knowledge on the subject. I'm sure Tails has done his research, even though he doesn't have a 360 to play. No, it's okay. Alright, so first of all, before we get into it, I just want to invite you all to our show. I mentioned this in the previous episode that you guys didn't get to hear, but I'll say it again. We're probably going to have cool guests on the show. We want more people to speak out. We want to get maybe some more influential people in the Phantasy Star world. And if you guys think that you're a valuable subject, let us know. Drop us a line. We'll be giving you guys our emails and any other contacts at the end of the show. And you guys can just jot that down and get a hold of us. Maybe we'll have you on the show. You can talk. So hooray for that. Next thing is just that we have our logo too. Some of you guys might be getting this off iTunes now, and I'm really crappy. I don't have any good editing software for pictures, so I'm gonna invite you two to create a new logo for our show and possibly a name, because everything is really tentative right now and we're just trying to get our feet up off the ground. So be sure to contact us about that as well. But now on to the nitty-gritty.
The part that you people actually tuned in for.
Exactly. Sorry about wasting your time with that. Maybe I'll edit it out, or maybe not, and make you listen to it. Okay, so I have played the beta. Tails, what do you want to know?
First off, I have a lot of friends who are thinking about getting PSU and have never played PSO before.
Okay.
In your opinion, how easy will this game to be, you know, to be able to be pick up and played?
Honestly, like with PSO, I think that Phantasy Star Universe is just as easily able to be just picked up and played by anybody. And the reason why I say this is because Phantasy Star Universe, the demo itself, well over 100,000 people downloaded it pretty quickly. And it was pretty apparent that most of the people that were playing in the demo were enjoying themselves and never played any other Phantasy Star game ever before. I played with a lot of people, I talked with a lot of people. I was surprised at how few people that I played with had ever actually experienced a Phantasy Star game in their lifetime. So in some ways I'm actually kind of upset about that, because I'd rather play with more dedicated people, but I am sure that by the time the game comes out, it's going to narrow down with the people that actually want to pay for it, and I'm sure most of the people will have played Phantasy Star before. I know that like at least 90% of the people who are even excited about the game had played Phantasy Star Online at the very least, so I'm still confident about that. But if you've never played a PSO or a PS game before, it's definitely easy to get into. It's very user-friendly, but it's definitely going to be a less fulfilling, because you're not going to get all the nostalgia and all the references and all the other knowledge out of it. So there are some drawbacks and there are some benefits, but definitely anybody can play it.
Alrighty. How high level did you get in the beta so far? Because that's one of the things I'm curious about.
I was never sure what the level peak was, but I managed to get into the mid-20s. My exact level was 23, but by the end of last night. And I saw some people like getting a little higher than that. I saw 26. That was the highest level I ever saw. And aside from that, I know that like a day after the beta was released, I hit 17 just from constant grinding throughout the night. And some people are saying that was the highest level that they saw, but I sincerely doubt it because there's a lot of people out there. But and I was really upset because I had to work 2 days in a row, so I definitely missed out and people caught up. But yeah, I hit 23, so knowing that you were able to reach 20 with, you know, a little bit of ease made sure or showed that people were able to access nanoblasts and SUVs, but I never saw anybody use one. I never saw a beast or an android at that level in action using one, unfortunately. And I was a human, so I didn't have access to those. So yeah, 23 is my level. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. As far as job leveling goes, how easy is that?
Well, the thing about leveling in Fantasy Star Universe, I noticed that for the most part, it was actually a little bit easier to level up and get a constant rate going. And the reason for this was just because some of the missions, even as you get stronger and the enemies are so much easier to kill, you still get a really good amount of experience for how fast you're able to blaze through it. And just doing constant runs of this one mission, I was able to level up a lot really, really quickly. And in some of the later missions that, you know, require a higher level prerequisite, it just ended up not being worth it if you wanted to level up faster because, I mean, the enemies were so much more powerful and you didn't get a lot more experience for it. So
okay.
Leveling up was easy, and as far as class leveling up goes, that was a totally different case because that is revolves solely on mission points, and the most mission points I was ever able to get was 6 for an S rank on this second tier mission. And the way that the ranking system works is you can only get an S rank if you kill every enemy and nobody dies. And then it essentially doubles what you'd get otherwise. And you can get an A rank, a B rank, and a C rank. C rank doesn't give you anything. B and A ranks give you 1 or 2, depending on the mission and so on. But it seemed like that the class level-ups required, I couldn't really pinpoint, maybe like 50 mission points to do it. I wasn't quite sure, but by the end of the beta, I reached a level 3 hunter. So, and that was in about 25 to 30 hours of gameplay.
Did you notice that it got more difficult to go to like 2 to 3 than it was 1 to 2?
You know what? It definitely got, you know, it took more time as it went by, obviously, but it wasn't really a significant jump. I learned that, in fact, the earlier levels, I seemed to level up a little bit slower than I did later on, but then once I reached, you know, right around the 20 area, or the late teens, it took a lot more time, but obviously, it all depends on what missions you're doing, and how fast you're getting through them, and, you know, how many party members you're with, etc.
Right.
So
it will have, you know, quote-unquote leveling missions, like, you know, Towards the Future was in PSO.
Well, the way that it all works actually is, I mean, obviously we all know that there's no more just free roaming levels like, you know, forest, cave, all that.
Right.
Now it's just only missions, but it still stays kind of similar like this. Like, here, I'll give you a run through actually of what it's like, okay? So you sign on, and I'll skip all the lobby stuff and I'll talk about that later, but basically, once you're in a party or once you join a party, you go to different bases, a different base on each planet, and wherever you go just determines what missions you have access to. So say I go to Perum, which is the human planet. I go to that base, I join a party, I enter the first mission, which is Mad Monsters. I go there, we go to this level, we play through it, it's all cool. We'll call that Forest 1. I make it through Forest 1. And then after that, you get to like the halfway base, and from there you can choose to either go to Forest 2 or Cave 1, you know, essentially. And that's pretty much the way that worked. And then some levels, like I said, were a lot harder to get through than others, and you could do it a lot faster. But your question again was what exactly?
Well, more just, are there going to be certain missions that are real, real popular for leveling?
Oh.
Like, you know, in PSO, everybody and their mother did.
Right, the Towards the Future. That's what you're talking about. Okay. Well, I firmly believe that there will be missions like that. Obviously, the missions in the beta were a little limited. I don't know, like, if it was every single one or not. But like I was saying, I pretty much just spammed Mad Monster C over and over and over again at certain points, and I was leveling up really, really well. And that seemed to work out for me just fine. But as far as, like, you know, compilation levels, or not compilation, but you know what I mean, just bringing in, you know, a lot of different enemies and making things really, really fast, didn't see anything like that. It was just basic level structure, moving from point A to point B with not a lot of variation within the same mission. So,
another thing, did you get any experience with the Lucky Star system?
I certainly did, actually. That is one thing I thought was a really cool addition. Once when I logged on, I saw that next to certain people's names there are these little sparklies, and I didn't know what those sparklies meant. And then I found out about the Lucky Star system, and it turns out that when you create your character, you are randomly assigned a Lucky Star day. And online, when you see the character, you'll see how close they are. There's three different levels of sparkles, so to speak. And as they get closer and closer and closer, finally they get this large orange glow next to their name. And once that happens, if you're playing with that character or you are that character, basically your loot in all of your missions is much, much better than usual.
Right,
It's far easier to find rare items, and basically your stuff is overall better.
It also upgrades your chance of successful grinding as well.
Right, the grinding and even synthesis, I believe, but don't quote me on that. Yeah, okay. But yeah, I did get to experience that. Unfortunately, I never got a Lucky Star day, but I played in some parties with people who had their Lucky Star, and there definitely was a difference. I saw there was a lot more money, there were a lot more better items, less of the low-end synthesis items, and it was really cool.
So it will definitely be noticeable if the leader is under a Lucky Star.
Correct.
Awesome. Did you ever get a chance to class switch at all?
I did. I created my one character, and I started out as a human hunter male, and I played through that for quite some time, just, you know, finally basking in the glory of Phantasy Star Universe and just enjoying it. And then I finally decided, okay, I'm going to try and switch classes and find out how this all works. And it was actually very, very nice and simple and easy to do. All you basically do is just go up to this counter and just buy the other class. You can switch and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't cost a lot of money, which is good news. Switching to a force, for example, cost me 1,200 Mercida at level 16 or whatever that was.
Right, but I think the formula is something like your character level times 50
right.
plus 150 or something like that.
Yeah, it's some weird formula. But yeah, it kept all of the stats of my hunter, and when I went up to the counter, I asked the lady, okay, I want to become a force, so here's your feat, these are what your stats are going to become, and this is what you're going to be able to equip. And so, okay, I became a force, I went to the shop, I bought some techniques, which are surprisingly cheap, by the way. Yeah, I learned that it's going to be far easier to be a force than in the previous games. Yeah, it's just because of the fact that there's no more TP and you never have to carry fluids around. Basically, you can really, really easily be a force just by carrying several force weapons. I had three staffs on me, so I linked two techniques to each staff. And then because I had three different weapons, I had three different PP meters to feed off of. The techniques were pretty cheap too, so I was able to do techniques over and over and over again, and I never had to stop. And pretty frequently throughout different missions and all over the lobbies, there's photon chargers, which completely restore all of your PP for a very small Mercida fee. So I never was not able to do a technique in all of my time of the game. Which is really, really cool.
For anyone that knows me, that makes me very happy on the inside.
Yes, Tails 3 with his Remedy character, his Phone Whirl, he's really going to be enjoying that, I'm sure. And I'll also tell you, too, that forces definitely were very, very powerful. They did significantly more damage than a basic hunter attack at about the same level or even lower. And obviously there's still different resistances that the enemies have, so you're still going to have to have the knowledge of the enemies to become a more successful force. And I have to tell you, Tails, leveling up the techniques is so great.
I can't wait.
Yeah, you'll basically just be able to buy every technique and then just be done with it and just experience it and level them up.
You know, you don't get screwed over when some Humar takes your level 30 Gasomne disc. He's like, oh, look what I found.
Right. It was fun to experience the new techniques as well and how they work now. They have a new ground type technique, a whole series of it, and I used a couple of those, and Zondi works a lot differently than it used to, and some other things. Basically, Zondi now is just Foyer, and it chooses
lightning element.
Right, and the raw techniques are still uber pwn, so to speak, if you have a good enough level of it and you have enough, anyway. So that was really, really cool. I encountered a few really, really good forces during my playtime who were just all out, and they definitely were the backbone of every party.
Awesome.
They were in really high demand with Resta, and it was just, it's going to be nice to be a force.
Everyone who knows me knows that makes me happy.
Yep, it's going to be very nice to be a force. So there's good news for you. As far as Rangers are concerned, Rangers seem to be a little bit less important than they used to be, or useful, I should say. Basically, they just come down to regular backup support of attack, or I'm sorry, I worded that really terribly. They're just basic attack support, pretty much. The bullets that I got to use, you know, the status altering effects, at the low levels, obviously, they hardly have any effect. But as you got higher, I saw some Rangers actually in action with some good weapons and some good bullets, and they really were helping a lot. But the backbone of the team pretty much relies on the tanks and the forces, I think, this time around.
Will the bullets be as powerful as, you know, old PSO weapons like the Frozen Shooter and the Spread Needle?
The way that it worked was the bullets didn't affect the power of your attack at all. It just added the status-altering effect. In fact, once you link a photon art with your gun, it's not an extra button that you're pressing. You're still using the regular attack button. It just has the added bullet to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and one of the drawbacks now to being a ranger is that just shooting your weapon now requires PP like every other item in the game, but knowing that now you pretty much have ammo now. Which is kind of bad, but also kind of good knowing that using your photon art isn't going to cost you anything extra.
Exactly.
So your weapons are, you know, they have more effects to them, which is a cool thing. And plus, you know, you still have machine guns, and machine guns are still awesome in the game.
And
shotguns are still really sweet. Rangers will probably be getting the most experience of anyone if they just hang back and just shoot everybody. So that's really cool. The other bad thing, though, really quick, is I noticed that, I don't know if this is going to be the way in the full game, but instead of saying miss, it just shows zero damage, which kind of bugged me a little bit. But being a ranger, at a low level, I couldn't quite tell if I was actually doing zero damage to an enemy or just missing him sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, so that's rangers. And hunters, obviously, lots of variation with the weapons. I found that I prefer the twin daggers the most, and the photon arts that I was able to attach to them are really, really cool. I actually maxed out one of my skills, level 20, with my twin daggers. The Renkai Byozan is just, it pretty much is just a whirlwind attack on all your surrounding enemies, and as you level it up, it'll attack more times, it'll hit them more times, it'll be more accurate. And once I got it past level 10, I was actually able to chain it. So I was able to do Y and then Y again without stopping. Photon arts are definitely going to have significant increases. And Rising Strike, for example, which is the basic one you get off the tutorial with your sabers. After you get that past level 10, you get a whole third attack added to it, which just unleashes on some enemies and just does a lot of damage and knocks them out. It is great. So hunters are going to have a lot of fun, forces are going to have a lot of fun, rangers are going to still going to have a lot of fun. But from what I noticed, rangers were definitely the least popular or sought after class in the game. So,
well, I think once we get into harder missions and stuff, they will become more useful.
Oh, definitely. You know,
because that's what they were for PSO, was, you know, locking down critical enemies that needed to be locked down.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, stuff like Phantasmal World 4 in PSO, mm-hmm. you know, they were the ones keeping the Jibbles from running around.
Oh, yeah.
The ones keeping your Ilgils paralyzed, that yep. kind of stuff.
And being able to have any status effect you want with any of your weapons is really going to help out. A gravity bullet was a really, really effective thing that I noticed that people were using. They could essentially just use gravity on an enemy. They wouldn't be able to move. Hunter could get behind them. Forces could just unleash on them. It worked out really, really well. So
I heard that picking from behind, you had far less miss.
That is one thing that I can't quite confirm, but there every once in a while I did feel as though I was getting more connected shots when I attacked enemies from different directions. So that's still up in the air. I can't quite say definitely yes or definitely no, but I wouldn't be surprised. With bosses, though, definitely that was the case.
All right. For those of us who are not blessed with 360s, take us through a typical run. You know,
okay,
you're in Perum City.
All right. What so do you do? Here's the way it works, and I'll talk about the lobbies and the party system and the way everything works. I sign on. And I see my character's data, I log in, it takes me to a random universe depending on how packed all the other ones are. And universes, by the way, are just the separate servers. All the same stuff is on every universe, it's just that, you know, to keep people separated and so it's not really crowded, there's a bunch of different universes. But I think that by the end of the beta, there are actually 36 different universes. So they definitely had to keep the servers wide open for all the people that were coming on. And they definitely did actually expand upon it while the beta was in place. Because I think when it started, there were less than 30 universes, and with all the people coming on, they added more. Anyway, so I sign on. I'll start at the Guardian's Colony, which is basically just your main hub with all the shops and a mission base and all sorts of different stuff. And from there, you can just run around. It's really, really nice to see the large scale of all the different lobbies and cities. It really feels a lot more epic and definitely, you know, like a full-fledged sequel, everything that we've been waiting for. So from there, what I normally did was I went right to Perum, which is the human planet. To get there, you can either A, go to your room, which, by the way, you can get to via these little crystals, which are scattered throughout every single lobby. They're everywhere, so you can get to your room anywhere. And so I go to my room. Then when I leave my room, I get the menu where I select my planet. And after I select the planet, I select which area of the planet I want to go to. So I'll go to Perum, I'll go to the Central District, where everybody starts out, and just move on from there. So I'll go from the Central District and I'll move to the East District, and that's where everybody's hanging out because that's right where the mission counter is. And from there I can just meet people, I'll use my keyboard to talk it up or cut in chat or blah blah blah. And the way that you can form a party is pretty easy actually. All you have to do is approach a character, you'll see a cursor show up on them, you press the A button and you get all sorts of options. Sending your guild card, inviting them to your party, sending simple mail, different things like that. So if you didn't want to form a party, all you had to do is just go up to the mission counter, and these are on every planet. You go to the counter, and just like in PSO, you can either join a party or create your own party. And so once you create your party, for example, you just select your mission, and every mission has a level prerequisite. So if you're level one, you're going to be starting out with like the first basic mission, blah, blah, blah. So once you get into the mission, you start playing the game, people join up, it's really, really cool, and everybody just has a good time. But one other really cool thing that took place in the lobbies was the dance competitions, I would say.
I've heard about these. These are relatively notorious.
One thing I'd like to tell people who are really big fans of the community aspects of Phantasy Star Online is that Sonic Team definitely noticed the popularity in that and expanded on it tenfold. You'll have, by pressing X in any lobby, you'll have access to different actions your character can do, so you don't even need a keyboard this time around to do them. Anything from shaking hands to looking embarrassed to four different kinds of dancing to backflips and punches and attacks and all sorts of other stuff that we've all done before. You're also able now to sit down anywhere you want. No more photon chairs, unfortunately, but there are different chairs scattered throughout the lobbies like a regular park, and or you can just sit on the floor.
The photon chairs were the height of style.
Yes. But, so the dance competitions would be really fun. You'd walk into a lobby and you'd see these three characters just, like, synchronized dancing. Or you'd see this one hot female character be like, I'll give you a lap dance for 500 Mesita. Things like that.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty humorous. And speaking of Mesita, one thing I do want to stress that I definitely noticed in my experience of the game is that Mesita is really important. And it's really hard to come by early on in the game. You'll be using your Mesita pretty much for everything, from buying weapons, to armor, to all your photon arts, to your items.
Recharging your weapons.
Mesita is very, very important. And also, in regards to Mesita, even at the higher levels, like even when I was like level 23, things like that, I really wasn't raking in a lot of money. And what sucks is just that regular item drops and even healing drops are pretty uncommon to find during on the battleground when you're fighting enemies.
Right.
Mostly you're just finding synthesis items up the wazoo, and sometimes even finding a monomate could be a godsend at the lower levels. That was pretty interesting. My first actual weapon drop, I think, wasn't until I was level 6 or 7 when I found a twin brand.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's different this time around. Twin brand is just a twin saber, not a double saber. And it was still green and blah, 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 blah. But it is cool, too, because the weapons themselves, as far as like the different levels of them, there's different degrees of them and three different forms of each now. So instead of just like saber, brand, palash, now there's three different kinds of sabers, three different kinds of brands, and three different kinds of palash. And each one corresponds to whatever planet it was made in.
Right. You have the manufacturer brands.
Right, the manufacturer brands, which are a really important thing. Because, A, depending on your race, you can get a boost by using the corresponding manufacturer. Or you need a certain manufacturer to grind it up and upgrade it. So that's all really important too. And it was also noticeable in the stats, just flat out. Going to a shop and looking at the three different kinds of brands, you get your own choice whether or not you want one a lot more accurate, one that's a lot more powerful, one with a lot more PP in it to perform more skills.
Right, I've heard, you know, each manufacturer had a speciality about
the
weapons.
Right, and that's just going to be up to you. And I really like the new form of variety they have to offer, especially considering each one is the same price at the shop.
Really?
Yeah. So they give you lots of choices in this one, which is a nice thing. And then moving on from that, I guess I should just start talking about the partner machinery. Partner machinery we've talked about before, but just think of them, if you haven't played PSU yet, just think of your partner machinery as your bank. That synthesizes all your items. Your partner machinery is going to be really important. This time around, while you can hold 60 items as opposed to 30, that's going to fill up really quickly with all the new synthesis items coming up. So you're going to want to periodically go back to your room and go to your partner machinery and store your items and blah, blah, blah. And then in regards to leveling your mag up, or partner machinery, I'm sorry. In regards to leveling your partner machinery up, that was one thing that seemed to take forever.
Really?
Even giving it items like a Moon Atomizer X, which was a 7-star, actually kind of rare in the beta, it would only level up 1 meter so much. And it just seems like it's going to take a really long time to get that partner machinery evolving and doing more stuff. It was also really, really difficult to find all the synthesis items required to make even things like dimates and trimates. The boards were pretty common finds as well. And then one really cool thing was that if somebody found like a rare board or any rare item for that matter, it would actually announce it on the side of the screen so everybody knows what you picked up. So unfortunately for some of those scurrying little Humars, you can't sneak a rare pickup. Everybody's going to know about it. which is a drawback for some, a benefit for others. I liked it though.
Others you need to force it.
What's that?
I said by other forces, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. But you are still able to see items in the same light that you saw them in PSO. Regular items are in green boxes, and rarer items are usually red. This time around, weapons will show up blue, but they'll have a little swipe up above them to signify that it's a weapon, and then other things like that. So there's definitely a lot of things that you'll already know and be comfortable with, and definitely some more things you'll have to get used to, but it all is for the better, is basically what it amounts to. And moving on from that, I didn't get a chance to try any expert classes, obviously, because no way in heck I could have enough time to level up two classes that much.
Right, plus I don't think they're unlocked yet until the first content push.
Right, and I think the first level peak jump is actually going to take place pretty soon after the release.
It should be about 2 weeks.
Yeah, something like
because
that.
Because I think the Japanese got it on the 12th, which was 2 weeks after their release.
Right, and Sonic Team did say they want to keep everything the same among, as in like how much time goes by between every update. So that'll be interesting to see. And for those who still don't know too, who are thinking about still picking up the game, playing it online is confirmed at $9.99 for your Guardian's license. You can use the same system that you did for Blue Burst on using your, what do you call it, Tails?
Well, it was called a Hunter's License back in Blue Burst.
No, I know Hunter's License, but there's some website you go to and then you,
oh,
I forget what
PlaySega.
It's called.
PlaySega.com.
PlaySega, yes, that's it. So you can still use that system and use the same license that you bought there and carry that over. And for 360 users, it's just going to be a marketplace purchase for 800 points, which amounts to about $10. So there's that, and having played the beta so far, even though, I mean, obviously I'm a huge PSO fanatic, and anything that I play Phantasy Star I'm going to love to death, I can say without a doubt that Phantasy Star Universe is everything that everybody's hoping for, and I'm sure you guys are going to spend even more hours on PSU than you did on PSO. Definitely a game you're going to be staying up nights with and using your refrigerator's emergency energy source if in case your house power ever goes out for, and all sorts of different things like that. It is an amazing game. I couldn't stop playing it, and I just can't wait for its final release. It's going to be torture not being able to play it for these 7 days, but nothing I can really do about it.
That's my next question was, actually.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I've been seeing a lot of sentiment on certain forum communities I go to that people are saying that the beta was so clunky that they don't intend to get the game at all.
Okay.
People have been having problems with, like, disconnections or faulty control structure, that kind of stuff.
Well, as far as the controls are concerned, I don't know where that could be coming from, because once you learn the gist of it, I never had any problems with it. The action palette, which is basically your new shortcut menu, works very beautifully. I had no hiccups with any of my commands. Obviously, the only time that would happen was during connection lag, but that happens regardless, depending on what's happening. But there were some issues with the beta. That I'm fairly confident were just beta issues, but I know some people were complaining about the disconnections, but that was simply because Sega was actively updating the beta and changing things as time went by, and every time
that,
they
because the servers were getting slaughtered.
Right, and every time that happened, they issued what was called an interrupt request, which signed a majority of the people off. That happened a few times in the couple days that it was out, especially towards the beginning there. But yeah, they did things like adding the, in fact, Perum, I don't even think was available in the first 2 hours or so of the beta release. And what, some of the boss fights weren't even available right off the bat either, simply because they hadn't been added yet and they weren't fully integrated into the beta server. But by the end of it all, I had fought all the bosses and everything worked well. And as far as other issues, I know that the chatting, some people were complaining about the chatting having some problems and lagging, but that I think was just an issue because either they were on a really, really crowded universe, or simply something else was happening on their Xbox or different things like that. I don't think it was actually an issue with the game, and it hardly ever happened anyway, for me at least. My only recommendation is if they're ever having any clunky hiccups with the game, just to move to a less crowded universe and just continue on from there.
Is that easy to do?
It's, like I said, all the diamonds that are scattered around all the different lobbies, the ones that you go to your room with, are also your universe transports. So just going, and like I said, there's like 20 at least. There's at least two in every single given 50 square foot area. So just by going to one of those, you can choose any universe and it automatically transports you. The problem, or not really the problem, but the one thing that will happen is if you are in a party, because you're moving to a new server, essentially you will be disbanded from that party. But obviously if you're already with a group, you can just arrange to move together and it really won't be that much of a problem.
Right, it's like, hey, let's go to Uni 8 because this one's a little laggy.
Exactly. You know? I spent my time on Universe 19. I'm sure most of you can't guess why, but that one didn't have any problems with. Other times I was on Universe 7. I never went to the first three universes except when it first came out, blah, 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 just because I didn't want to have a huge crowded area to play in. I did think it was cool, though, that looking at my character ID, I was the 322nd person to log on to the beta and get
awesome.
My character. I thought that was pretty nifty. And the highest number I saw, obviously, was well beyond 100,000. So the demo was definitely incredibly popular. But like I said, knowing the people that I played with and getting the general consensus of it, people were just playing it because they're like, hey, what's this on Xbox Live, and just wanted to get a taste of it. But there's still a good share of people that I played with who are huge Phantasy Star fans, and I had just as much fun and friendly communication with people as I did on PSO, but I'm confident that the people that I want to be weeded out will be weeded out by the monthly fee.
Did you find any of our listeners out there?
I actually did. I was level 17, I had just finished a mission, I was about to go to work. And so I just sat down outside of one of the bases, and some guy approached me because my name was 019, and he was like, hey, don't you have a PSU podcast? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's sweet. Do you want to party up? And I'm like, sorry, I'm already in a party. And then he cried and ran away. So whoever that was out there, I'm sorry I had to decline you, but thanks for the support. And there were three other people that approached me, too, that I can't remember the exact situations for, but we definitely got some exposure and definitely getting some appreciation even in the game. So,
that's awesome.
Yep. My character name, my final main character name, I haven't fully decided on yet. But on the beta, if it does indeed last until midnight on the 19th rather than midnight on the 18th, I will be known as 0 numeral 19, and you'll find me on Universe 19. So we're hitting the 40-minute mark now. I'm going to have to stop this one, but we'll be sure to come back again and talk more about the game. We're really, really close to release now. How many days is it, Tails? 7 days, guys. Just less than a week now to go. And if you haven't pre-ordered your copy yet, I'm still going to urge that you go do that, because all the GameStops now got most of them should have gotten those soundtracks. So when you pre-order your game, you can pick that up for free and
I gotta go get mine.
Yeah, you should do that. I'm gonna pick up mine on Wednesday. So, Phantasy Star Universe, two thumbs up from 019, and I'm sure two thumbs up from Teos 3.
Once I get a hold of it.
Yeah. I can honestly say that this is probably already my favorite game of all time. And, well, I won't say that much until I actually have the game in my possession, but...
Right.
It's definitely something to look forward to. Everybody out there who's played Phantasy Star Online, do yourself a favor, and if you have the means, play this game. Rent it if you have to. I don't even care. Just play it. And the story mode, I'm sure, will be just as enjoyable. I can't wait to play through that as well. It'll just be more stuff. Although now I'm actually having second thoughts about whether or not I should play through the offline mode first. Because after playing the online mode for so long, I'm just like, wow, I don't want to stop. I just want to keep going. And,
I don't know, though. Don't you have a number of bets open on that?
See, that's the thing. I mean, I'm saying this now, but I'm sure in the end I'll just do the story mode anyways, knowing that it's only going to take me one sitting to do it. So... and for people who don't know what I'm talking about, I have vowed to play through the offline mode of Phantasy Star Universe as soon as I get it in one sitting without stopping, taking 2-minute bathroom breaks and eating while playing. So if you think I can do it, you know, just let me know, give me some support. I'm going to need it because at least my eyes will need it and my brain will need it.
I'm also attempting this, but I'm not making bets like you are.
Aw.
I'm not crazy.
Aw. I'm an attention whore, what can I say? So,
well, I mean, it is the internet.
It is the internet. Serious business. Alright, so there's some quick thoughts on the beta. Well, not really quick, 42 minutes worth. There's some thoughts on the beta, some information for you. I'll be making some more topics on Threads if you guys want to know more, and I'm sure we'll come out with another episode before the game actually comes out, especially considering I won't be able to actually play it now. So, now...
I swear I've been trying to get hold of you for like 3 days.
Yep, I've purposely been avoiding people just so I can keep playing. My dad called me a few times, and I was like, I'll call him back in 2 days. So, and then,
it's horrible.
No. The only person who can really pull me away from this game is my girlfriend, and,
Well, I think we all know why.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, come on. Cut me some slack. It's not just that, I swear. I love her. And she loves me.
See, what you need to do is you need to get her to dress up like a phone whirl.
I'll try. I'll take pics if I can, and I'll send them to you. Shout out
to... That'll be for next.
That'll be for an episode to come. So, shout out to you out there. You know who you are. I don't want to give names because she likes her privacy, and yay for that. She probably is never going to listen to this just because she doesn't like my business voice. So, anyway, you guys don't need to hear about that. So now we'll just give you guys our contact information. If you have any feedback, feel free to contact us. Tell us what's what. If we got something wrong, which I doubt, let us know.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah. If just, you know, basic questions, comments, if you want to be on the show, if you just have anything to offer us, let us know. You can contact me at zero9teen@gmail.com.
And you can contact me at Zeromi, @gmail.com.
So, drop us a line, tell us what you think, and like I said, if you are active on PSO World, GameFAQs, Lulinks, the Tails, I know he's got the official Blueburst boards covered, excuse me, and we're just going to get the word out some more. We're going to have this on iTunes. It should already be up on there, so you can download it off that. We'll have it on Yahoo. Off of our Podomatic site. Just keep listening in. We'll keep talking about PSU, and once the game comes out, we'll have even more fun stuff to share with you, more community stuff, I'm sure.
Assuming we can pull ourselves away from it.
Exactly. It might be maybe a couple weeks before the game comes out, or maybe when there's online downtime. So.
It's like, hey guys, we made this. Let's make a podcast.
Yep. So I'm sure we're going to do some really fun stuff, so just keep in touch with us, subscribe to our podcast, and we'll keep having fun with Phantasy Star Universe. So this is 019.
And this is Tales 3.
And we are signing off with our third or second installment of the Fantasy Star Universe podcast. We'll see you guys later. Hope to see you online.